Hey friends, it's your pal Mike Shea from Sly Flourish, here with another episode of Sly Flourish's Lazy GM Prep. In this weekly show, I go through steps from Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master while preparing for my Sunday role-playing game. I am running the campaign called The Gloaming from Curse Scroll 1 using the Shadow Dark. Our Curse Scroll 1 and the Shadow Dark RPG are available on the Arcane Library, Kelsey Dion of the Arcane Library. We're pretty deep into this campaign now. I don't know how many sessions we have, but it's a lot. And my players are still really enjoying it, and I'm really enjoying it. So it's actually been a lot of fun, and it's a fantastic system. It's a fantastic setting. I really, really like both a lot. And it's been great fun to run. And my players, all who are all veterans, right? I think everybody at my group that runs this are GMs themselves. And so we have a whole table full of GMs. And it's really interesting how much all of these GMs like this lightweight, fast, deadly system. It's been really enjoyable. People are really digging into it. Even though we're veterans, even though we've all played 5e for a long time, even though we've played very crunchy systems, all of us are enjoying the lightweight nature of Shadow Dark and the sort of atmosphere that it brings to the game. So it's really quite cool. This show, like all of the work of Sly Flourish, is brought to you by the patrons of Sly Flourish. Patrons get access to all kinds of really cool tools and adventures and source books and tips and guides, a dedicated Discord server, a monthly Q&A, a connection into the whole Lazy DM community. You get tons and tons of stuff for becoming a patron of Sly Flourish. It helps me, the patrons of Sly Flourish help me get everything that I need in order to do shows like this. Keep my website up. All of the other free stuff that I throw out there, and I throw out a lot of free stuff, is there because I'm able to get funding from patrons. But patrons also get lots of exclusive features. So please consider becoming a patron of Sly Flourish. And to the patrons of Sly Flourish, thank you so much for your outstanding support. So where did things end? So the characters, I think, are getting like close to sixth level. They're pretty far. So we're running the Gloaming right here, and we'll pull up our map. And they have now reached area 1108, which is the Marin's Hold. Marin's Hold is important, and I'm changing a little bit about what's going on here. One of the interesting things is the world has been evolving. So how the world has been evolving based on the things that the characters have done and the things that the characters have seen is interesting to wrap around new places. And one of the things they have here is that Tarly Winters is the Reeve of Marin's Hold. And if you read about Tarly, Winters believes sorcery attracts demons, and he recently had three women. A, I changed Tarly Winters to a woman. And B, I decided that Tarly wasn't really the one in charge of burning the witches at Boot Hill, but instead was driven to do so by the Knights of St. Yidris, who operate nearby. They operate out of 1406. So we have kind of four locations here. We have Marin's Hold, Boot Hill, the ruined castle 1308, which is the Meyer Castle ruins where the Green Knights used to operate. And we have 1406, which is Greywall Priory, where the Knights of St. Yidris operate. And they're all on the way to the Vile Well, which is where Haldren is kept. So we're making our way into this lower region. And then all of these places have been affected by what's been going on. As order has been disrupted across all of the Gloaming with the rising of the teeth of Almazot, and the draining of Fenimir Lake, which the characters did cause, and all of this stuff, the Knights of St. Yidris have gotten stronger, and some of their connection, like one of the things that I've been doing with the Knights of St. Yidris is that they are actually a corrupted set of knights, and they have sort of their own demonic influence going on. And now they're sort of more overt about that. They still claim, like, we are the cleansing light against all of the horrors that are going on in the world. But really, they're just demons. And the characters figured this out very quickly. So the characters made their way across the land. I don't think they met the hill giant named Frond. Swamp King Fronk. And Fronk had Mugdalblub, and they convinced Fronk that they would just hack his leg off to get rid of the Mugdalblub's curse, because they say, well, CRISPR, our sentient Mugdalblub cure, is way far away. So we're just going to have to cut it off. So they cut off his leg, one of the goblins that was carting around Swamp King Fronk on his sort of floating litter recognized one of the characters, and so they had sort of a reunion, and that was fun. But there was a lot of question of like, are we gonna have to fight this guy? Are we gonna just, you know, deal with it? And they ended up just hacking his leg off, and off he went. So then they made their way across the bridge. They made their way into Marin's Hold. They went into the local bar in Marin's Hold, which is known as the Crayfish Tavern. And there were a couple of Knights of St. Yidris hanging out, but then also other people. And the characters got involved, and the knights kind of came up and questioned them strongly. And as surprise, surprise, battle ensued. And it involved the characters killed and beheaded the two Knights of St. Yidris. And one of the characters is a former Knight of St. Yidris. So he's claiming, like, look, these knights are corrupted knights, and I'm a true Knight of St. Yidris. And the villagers, who have been really thoroughly terrorized, because I think like a third of the village has probably now been executed as, you know, witches. Basically, anybody who dissents is a witch, and anybody who's a witch is killed. And so now, so then they actually killed. And so, well, somebody's going to run off and warn the other. There are six Knights of St. Yidris here in Marin's Hold, and two of them were killed at the bar, and one of their toadies was going to run off and tell the other four, but they killed him in the street. So they killed a villager who was a toady of the Knights of St. Yidris in the streets, at which point Tarly Winters shows up with a couple of villagers, village guards, who are not Knights of St. Yidris, and is like, what is happening here? And that's sort of our strong start for today. Let us go into our campaigns. We are going to create a new session planning template. Open it up. As always, I'm using Notion to do my campaign planning. Not as always, because now I've been using a lot of Obsidian, but I'm still using Notion for the Gloaming because it's easy for me to talk about it here on the show. And I have seen little reason to do otherwise. Lots of talk about Notion versus Obsidian, and I love both. They're both really good. I'm not leaving Notion. In fact, I have like a bunch of shared notes and notes that I share with my wife and stuff like that we use Notion for, and I'm probably going to keep doing that. But my campaign planning, I've been really enjoying using Obsidian. So I think that I may be switching to Obsidian, and maybe on my next campaign, we'll talk about Obsidian. And I have a few reasons why I like Obsidian. Main thing is I do like that it's all local files. It's all markdown files. It's really easy to archive. And there's lots of like different ways that I can manipulate the things that I create using plugins and stuff like that. So I like it. It's clean. It's fast. It's cross-platform. I can use it on my phone. I can use it on my laptop, and I can print from it. I can do other things. So I just kind of like Obsidian. However, I do not recommend one over the other. They are both excellent tools. And I do not, like I've seen, I think earlier today on the Sly Flourish Discord server, which you can join by being a patron of Sly Flourish, that there was a discussion of like, well, why should I switch to Obsidian? And my answer is, you know, if you have to ask the question, you probably shouldn't. Right? Like if your tool is good and you're happy with it, I don't know that there are definitely people who will say, Nicole, who's on the show, right, has lots of different plugins and lots of different expandability. I actually don't use a lot of plugins and expandability. I like it really lightweight. And I can't say that I found, other than like speed and the fun of working with text files again, and the lack of having sort of like the performance is way better when you're dealing with flat files, and then having tools that can manipulate flat files. And then, of course, the plugin architecture is really nice. I don't know if all of that is worth like the trouble of switching over from one platform to the other. If you want to switch, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Should you switch? I would say probably not. And should you? You should do what you dig. I don't think that it has anything so extreme that it's worth like making yourself switch over to it. I kind of just like playing with new stuff, and playing with new stuff got me to try Notion in the first place, and playing with new stuff got me to try Obsidian. So now I'm enjoying Obsidian. I'm using it for my two other campaigns are both using Obsidian, and I like it, and it works really well. It'll be interesting to see how Obsidian works when I'm doing things like sharing my notes like I am now. So we'll see what that's like. I mean, I suppose it's not difficult for me to pop open a new window and create a little thing that uses Obsidian, but it means switching between Obsidian and the browser as I go back and forth means I have to switch scenes, and that's kind of tricky. So it's easier because it's a web-based app, and that's probably the number one thing that Notion has that Obsidian doesn't, is Notion, it is both its advantage and its disadvantage. It is completely web-based, which means you can run it anywhere on any web browser, anywhere. Like, and a lot of people are like, you know, I like popping into my notes and adding some stuff in the middle of work, and I don't want to install an application, or I can't install an application, but I can log into Notion at work, so I do that. So there's definitely people where the flexibility of having it in a browser is really beneficial. Then the other problem, though, is it's all hosted on a browser. And I noticed recently, like, I go through, and every 6 months, I download all of my information from Notion into flat files so that I'm backing it up. And I had some weird stuff where it was linking to like my artisanal database, which had like 4,000 monsters in it. And then that was downloading for each campaign. And it was like a nightmare, where in Obsidian, you could just grab a folder and move it and you're done. So, yeah. All right. Strong start. So our strong start is the bloody streets of Marin's Hold confronting Tarly Winters. We can drop Tarly Winters into our NPCs here. For fun, let's think about Tarly for a moment. So this is she's the head of the town. I think that she is, how strong is she? I don't think that she's like, you know, if we're going to go back to my old favorite of using characters from Deadwood, she's not Sheriff Bullock, because Sheriff Bullock never would have allowed, you know, if she was Sheriff Bullock, she'd be dead. She never would have allowed the Knights of St. Idris to take over the town. She's also not Al Swearengen, so she's neither of those. But she's not as weak as the mayor. I forget what his name is. So I'm trying to think of like a good character archetype I could use for her. And I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of one from like movies or fiction. But basically, you have somebody who's trying to keep the village safe when it's also overtaken by horrible people, right? And she's right at that edge where she realizes, like, we've lost a third. And every time anybody's, like, murdered and killed, she's still like, well, I have everybody else that I have to keep alive. And so she works with the knights. She doesn't oppose the knights. She also knows, like, if we oppose the knights, we're all dead, right? They can't leave because the knights will hunt them down, but there's also horrors out there far worse. So I think, you know, that's kind of her, you know, her mannerisms. She's probably in her 50s. And yeah, so I think she's stuck. But, you know, like, one could argue, is she a collaborator? Kinda. Is she helping the people? And like, you know, she's trying to help those who survive. But eventually she's, you know, so I think she could be shoved right over the edge. But she's still trying to hold on to some semblance of having control over a situation that she doesn't have any control over. So I think that that's an important thing for Tarly. I'm going to do another NPC, since I'm down here in the NPCs, which is the current leader of the Knights of St. Idris. Adeline Flametooth is a dwarf commander. Adeline Flametooth is an opportunistic dwarf commander of the Knights of St. Idris in Marin's Hold. He commands the remaining three, which are Bernard, Eva, and Cashel. Just get some names. So that's fine. One question is, so he is probably a Reaver. I think they're, are they called Reavers? One thing I should check is there a Knight of St. Idris stat block in Cursed Scroll? No. So then if we go into Shadowdark, so we have Knights, the Knight stat block, which is on page 228. They're very flavorful too. So I had the Knight has this oath, and I was like, an oath by the Knight of St. Idris looks a lot like demonology. But I think there's also a more powerful, like, Blackguard kind of dude. I can't remember if they call them Reavers. I want to say it's a Reaver. It is not a Reaver. The nice thing about Shadowdark is it's so lightweight. You can actually skim through all of the monsters really quickly. Let's go back to the top. Do they have they have Drow. That's kind of nice. Neat. Stat block for a bad dude. 247, the Reaver. And they're pretty tough. They're level 6. So we have the Reaver from page 246. They're like, you know, lots of hit points, 3 attacks with the bastard sword, d8 plus 2, bloodlust plus 2 damage with melee weapons. You could also throw an oath on there as well, just to make them really nasty. So any other monsters that we need? You can always use like bandits and guards, but I think we're pretty good. Treasure, we're not going to worry about. I like rolling for treasure during the game itself. But let's get back to our strong start. So we have, let's talk about the characters. I don't know who's not here today. I don't know who isn't in. So we have Morrigan. So a lot of what's going on with Morrigan. So we have a couple of characters that definitely have some key connections in here. And one thing I ought to do is write them in. So let's see. I'm just going to write the characters' names in. So I'll do it while I'm figuring it out. So we have Morrigan. Morrigan's mother was burned at the stake here by the people of Marin's Hold. And people recognize her. People say, oh, you're the daughter of Morrigan. You're the daughter of Gwendolyn, who was killed here. So that's definitely a big connection. Dazder is a human witch who actually is a witch that carries the remnant of Memnon. We have Kalim, the elf wizard. We have Lauren, the goblin scout leader. Yuralt, the former knight of St. Idris. And Tribble, the halfling burglar. So I am going to write their names in my notes. Let's see how many I can remember. I remembered 5 of the 6. Morrigan, Tribble, Yuralt, Lauren, Dazder, Kalim. That was really close. Morrigan is the human warlock. What is she? Elf warlock. Tribble is the halfling burglar. Yuralt, the former knight of St. Idris. Lauren is the goblin scout leader. Dazder is the human witch shaman, the human witch frog shaman. And Kalim is the elf wizard. One thing I'm going to do, so I'm going to pull this out, and we're going to go modify my template. I go in here. There. So now future templates will have the characters listed. I can always, as characters die, because they do, I can always modify the template. But it's an easy way to have that list there. The nice thing is when I print my notes, it's really handy to have the characters listed in my notes. So you've got that. So those are the characters. And the two big ones, I mean, they all have like a good connection here. Like Kalim and Dazder would be considered witches there, and the knights would want to kill them. Lauren and Tribble, I don't think, have as strong a connection here. And Morrigan's mother was killed here. And Yuralt is a former knight of St. Idris. So there's lots going on there. Scenes. We don't really have scenes other than the strong start. I don't know where it's going to go. So I'm going to yank the scenes because I don't. Scenes is like that. I mean, I guess the handy part is like, well, where could they go? But really, is that scenes or is that locations? And the locations are like Marin's Hold. And I can actually put page numbers down from Cursed Scroll. That'd be handy. We have Marin's Hold, Boot Hill, and Greywall Priory. Those are our fantastic location. And the well, the Vile Well. So we can link to those. And I think I already printed out maps for all of these places in my campaign book. I don't know where my campaign book went. But I think in my paper copy of the campaign book, we have it there. So if I have those locations, I don't really need scenes because they're going to travel from one place to the other. So secrets and clues. I also don't need to put my session notes in here because it's going to be printed in paper. So one of them is that Tarly has been trying to keep the people of Marin's Hold safe, recognizing that the Knights of St. Idris would kill everyone in the village if she didn't. That's probably a lie. The knights of St. Idris believe, have they become sort of an Armageddon cult at this point, where like they're, you know, those who are cleansed can escape the teeth of Almazoth. Like, what's their plan? So the teeth of Almazoth are closing in. I don't think they think they can stop it. But is it sort of like a rapture cult where, like, you know, those who are pure of heart will survive, will be sent to a better place. Those who are not shall be burned. It's a little too on the nose. But I don't think their goal is to stop. I don't think that their goal is to stop the coming of Almazoth. The knights believe the sins of the people of the Glen are to blame for the coming of Almazoth. So one thing, so we have the, so I think that St. Idris whispers to the knights, not figuratively, but actually, but literally. St. Idris rests beneath Gray Wall. So you just rest beneath the Gray Wall Priory. The Knights of St. Idris are led by a brother and sister, by brother and sister knight commanders. And these, let's see, I don't think there actually is. Mantor Wolfbright. Mantor and Lynette Wolfbright. Put them in our NPCs. Knight commanders of the Knights of St. Idris. Do I have like a single NPC page? Did I do that for this campaign here? I did not. I still have my normal. I don't have an NPC list. That's unfortunate. Oh, well. I've changed how I'm handling NPCs in my notes. So in the ye olden notion times, like we are doing here, I have like all of these cards, and that's great. But honestly, I don't check it very often. I don't actually go into these and like look up their stuff. I really just need like a name and maybe like a few words about each NPC, even for the big ones. The rest are internalized. So now instead I have a single page, and the single page has the name of the NPC in alphabetical order and a one-line description of who they are. And then what I do is I separate them out to current NPCs and previous NPCs. So I have like, who are the ones I need to be paying attention to now? So it makes it much easier and faster, and I can print out one sheet that I can bring with me that has the names of all of the NPCs that are important to the campaign. I keep the previous ones around because you never know if they're going to come back, but I highlight the current ones so that I know who the current ones are. And that way I don't have to keep like a database of NPCs. So I've actually simplified my prep since switching over to Obsidian, because I like to print it out now. I like to have printouts of my stuff in my games, even for my digital games. And I want to keep everything simple. So it turns out I don't need as much as I thought I needed. These secrets, by the way, we are going to turn into bullets because they work better as bullets. That wasn't what I wanted. There we go. Because that way it prints out nicely, because I'm going to print this out in the end. So what else? The knights. So we had some secrets from last time. Let's take a look at those secrets and see which ones made their way across. Many centuries ago, denizens of the Fae danced with the mortals of Gloaming. That was pretty good. I like this secret. I'm going to keep that. Let's grab all these and let's throw them into my current notes, and then we can delete the ones I don't need. Hey, my mom is here. Hi, mom. So yeah, that many centuries ago, the denizens of the Fae danced with the mortals of the Gloaming. The results were the Green Knights. Their ancestors reside at the Barrow Mounds. I think they skipped over the Barrow Mounds. I think we decided that they didn't go to the Barrow Mounds. So we probably don't need that, but it matters for the other one. The well leading to the Shimmering Valley, an underground bottomless rift and a vast cavern. Weird spectral tendrils rise up from the bottom. Yes, Haldren traveled to the village of Nighthaven on the edge of Shimmering Valley, where orc followers of Gidi, the god of feasts, mirth, and wilds, reside. Yes. A narrow path along the Shimmering Valley leads to an underground keep known as Last Watch, demonic keep of the Shimmering Valley. This keep is the lair of the followers of Ramlot the Pillager, or Ramlot of the Horde. Villagers of Nighthaven defend themselves against the demonic worshipping orcs of Ramlot, who have taken over Last Watch. The orcs of Ramlot worship at an altar to their dark god. Lots of stuff. Haldren, having heard of this, look at all these things. Spies of the Knights of St. Idris warned the orcs of Ramlot of the sorcerer's coming and suggested he make a wonderful sacrifice to the bloody dark god. Kytheris is willing to call back Almazotz if he has proven... Yeah, so they... I don't... This didn't come up because they didn't go to the right place. Or they didn't not go to the right place, but it didn't come up because they didn't go there. I don't need this. Marin's Hold is regularly attacked by Skrell demons. We did that. Olgar the Glabrezo is in league with St. Yidris. Is Olgar a demon of Ramlot, right? Let's see. So we can do this. A Glabrezo in service to Ramlot. Rules over the orcs of Last Watch. Way too many secrets. So who is the demon that has taken over for St. Yidris? What would be a good demon name? Ursul. Mulcabir. I like that one. Mulcabir is kind of cool. St. Yidris has been hollowed out by a demon known as Mulcabir. I think that there's a powerful demon thing in Cursed Scroll that we could use as a stat block for this guy. It's the dude that's on the cover. A Drela. Tall as two humans with a pair of curved horns, a shark's grin, and an axe of white bone. A Drelic named Mulcabir. I don't know how to spell it. Drelech. And we'll put the Mulcabir. And he's on Cursed Scroll 1, page 46. But I don't think I'm going to be using that dude anytime soon. I got piles of secrets. Oh, did I put all these under NPCs? What did I do? I put them in the wrong place. Look at that. Well, I don't need this. There we go. Dang. Imagine where we'd be without copy and paste. So I have way too many secrets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. I have like almost 20 secrets, which is too many. I think it'll be fine though. Sly Flourish's pile of secrets. Yeah. This is too many because it's hard to read. So let's take a look through them here. Tyler Winters are trying to keep people memories hold. Safe. Yeah. Nice to see Andrea. So we're at least focusing them around where they are. The only thing, so I think this is like a quest, and they can decide whether to do it or not. The only way the knights will leave the people of Meryn's Hold alone is to wipe them, is to end their reign and kill the two knight commanders. Perhaps even ending St. Yidris himself. So I have too many secrets, and then what do? Add another secret. I think we're going to cut this guy. I don't need that. That's all fine. Those are all good. Those are all good secrets. And we've got our locations with our maps and descriptions. I don't know. So let's see. I haven't filled out any of these places yet. And I don't know which one they're going to. So I would have to do it kind of by the seat of my pants. So they might head straight to the Greywall Priory. This guy. Let's save. I already have a printout. But I don't think I don't have a printout filled out yet. So let me jot down some locations. So we're going to start with the upper left map. Let's see. Temple interior. We'll probably cut off that part of the back. I don't think that really matters. How are they connected? So temple interior has carved statues of the knights. We probably have murals of battles, knights against demons. And we have guard barracks. We have shrines to St. Yidris. There's probably a few of those shrines. Any other things that we need here? What else? What other kind of things would be in the temple interior of the Knights of St. Yidris? An armory would probably be there. A war room. Then we have the under temple. Here's where some creepy stuff goes on. We probably have a prison, a dungeon. Dungeon and interrogation. What would they call it? A cleansing room? That sounds terrible. We like that. We have an artifact chamber. What, the chamber of relics? So the under temple. What kind of chambers would be in the under temple? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have about 7 chambers in there. It'd be nice to have 7 places. Dungeon and cleansing room. Statues of the other saints. They're probably defaced because the current saint doesn't want. Mural of the battle between St. Yidris and, what do we call him? Malkabir. And the secret is that Malkabir won. 1, 2, 3, 4. What other kind of things would we have here? We have a chamber of relics. We have the dungeon and cleansing room. Could have a separate, we could have a dungeon and the cleansing room. Two separate places. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What else? Meditation chamber, the inner chamber of the inner circle. And then we have the crypts, right? The catacombs. And for the catacombs, so let's see, which they go down this way. This is, let's see, how is this coming down? Yeah, okay, so this is directly under this room to the right. That's the stairway that goes down the room to the right. And then they enter here, and then they go, and there's like secret passages and stuff. And then they go down into the crypts. And so that first chamber would be that centermost chamber. We have a Chamber of Guardians. We would have Urns of Heroes. We have the Ironbound Sarcophagus. Like, what catacomb would not have a vampire that they've trapped in a cold iron sarcophagus who's just screaming? That's creepy. They got creepy stuff in here. Altar of the True God. And we'll have St. Yidris' Rest of St. Yidris' Devoured. Because he eats people. The Vault of Wraiths, which is actually going to be right before the Ironbound Sarcophagus. Vault of the Damned. The Cleansing Pool. So that's pretty good. Lots of locations. So what I'll do is at some point I will print that out and I will write all of these names on it and then stick it in my notes, particularly if I know that the characters are going there. But in the meantime, I have it handy if I happen to need it today. So we're all set there. And I think let's have one last look at our notes. Got the characters. I have a strong start. I got a pile of secrets and clues. I got some fantastic locations. I got a couple of NPCs and some monsters that are highlighted. And the rest of that, we leave to the game itself. So I feel pretty good about it. I'm excited for where things are going to go. Friends, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me today while I prepared for my game. If you enjoyed this show and you want more stuff like this, please consider subscribing to the Sly Flourish newsletter. You get a free adventure generator for signing up, and you get a free RPG-related email that has links to all of the other work that I do by signing up. It's absolutely free to sign up. You can also join the Patreon. Patrons get access to all kinds of cool things, dedicated Discord server to hang out with other lazy DMs, a monthly Q&A to ask me questions about RPG-related stuff, plus a bunch of tools and a bunch of adventures and source books and tip books of tips, tons of stuff you get for being a patron of Sly Flourish. And you can pick up my books, Return to the Lazy Dungeon Master, The Lazy DM's Workbook, Lazy DM's Companion, Forge of Foes, and the various fantastic books at the Sly Flourish bookstore. Links for all of that are in the show notes. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and get out there and play an RPG. Bye-bye.